If that sound means nothing to you, you have a lot to learn about 30 years of Game Boy. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. Nintendo's Game Boy came out 30 years ago. It marked a beginning and an end. The end of me as a productive child, teenager, and adult, let's face it. The device was janky by today's standards, but it was revolutionary in 1989. And it was also cheap enough that a kid could buy one after a single summer of delivering the West Toledo Herald newspaper in his neighborhood, because my parents would never buy me one. What the Game Boy began was serious mobile gaming, which is a big part of how we play today. Some project mobile gaming will bring in more than $100 billion in revenue in 2021. Ian Bogost is a game designer and professor of gaming at Georgia Tech. He says, I'm not the only one who spent hours staring at that little screen.
The world went nuts for it. It was very successful in Japan before it arrived in the States, but it was uncertain as to whether it was going to be a domestic success. You know, it has kind of a strange name, Game Boy. It had been marketed at young kids. And in some ways, it was Tetris that made it have that broad appeal. Nintendo explicitly and deliberately included Tetris as a way of broadening the market for the system.
Tetris was a game that my dad got addicted to. And this is a man who, you know, thought video games were incredibly dumb and mind-rotting, but yet hours on Tetris. How did demand shape what games were created?
Well, in some ways, it was less demand than the philosophy and design of the system itself. The designer of the system was a fellow named Gunpei Yokoi, and he had this philosophy of repurposing older, sort of dead technologies. And so the Game Boy had this processor from the late 1970s, and you know, that terrible screen, that passive matrix kind of green shaded screen. And in fact, the screen itself had trouble with motion because of the way that it was constructed. And so a game like Tetris, a sort of slow-moving puzzle game or tactics game like that, was much more playable on the system.
Well, nowadays we have really powerful computers walking around in our pockets. Are smartphones kind of our Game Boy proxies?
They are to some extent. I mean, certainly we use smartphones to play the kinds of games that the Game Boy made popular in that format. There's a direct line from Tetris to Candy Crush. And I think that's one of the important things to realize about the Game Boy. Some people might think, well, I don't have a relationship with the Game Boy because I don't play games or I don't play them very much. But of course, they all almost certainly use a smartphone to do lots of different things. And that gets its start in this, you know, even the way that you hold the thing is very similar to the way that the Game Boy was held. It's probably worth observing that the name was kind of a riff off the Walkman, which had come out about 10 years before that. And that was a thing, too, that even if you didn't listen to music all the time, changed the way, set the stage for how we use consumer electronics and later computers.
Nintendo with Game Boy kind of created or at least revolutionized the mobile gaming market, and which is huge today. But how is Nintendo doing in that market?
They're doing both well and poorly. And let me explain what I mean by that. So the Game Boy and its subsequent products, the Game Boy Color and so forth, sold well over 100 million units throughout the 90s and into the early 2000s. And then Nintendo released follow-up products. That was the Nintendo DS, which was like a Game Boy but had two screens and folded up. And that, too, sold hundreds of millions of units. But, of course, that pales in comparison to the smartphone market, to the phones that Samsung sells or that Apple sells. And those aren't exclusively gaming devices, of course, but they are used for gaming. And Nintendo has been very deliberate about bringing very, very few of its properties, of its franchises like Mario, to smartphones. So they really like to keep them on their own platforms. They've experimented with it a little bit, but it's been a mixed bag. So within their sandbox, if you will, Nintendo has been enormously successful. There's no question that, you know, selling 300, 400 million units of something and then all the software for it is an enormous success. But if you compare that with the smartphone hardware and software market, then it looks like a modest success.
Ian Bogost is a game designer and professor of gaming at Georgia Tech. You know, I could never bring myself to get rid of my old Game Boy. I gave it to my sister a couple years ago. She's even older than I am. And she was stoked. And now for some related links. Nintendo's biggest success with mobile gaming on smartphones is without a doubt Pokemon Go. And if this episode wasn't already making you feel old, that game turns 3 this July. Businessofapps.com has a breakdown of how that game has done and is doing. It's greatly cooled down from the initial download frenzy, but its best month for active users came in May of last year, just 147 million people logging on worldwide. Don't know why. The game continues to bring in $200,000 in revenue daily. Who knows, that might even go up if the Detective Pikachu movie that's releasing this week makes people want to catch them all. Whatever it was about the app that captured hearts and minds, there are copycats, notably the Catholic Church. The game Follow Jesus Christ Go allows people to collect biblical characters and saints. It's intended to help the church's evangelization, and it was even blessed by Pope Francis. But as a Wall Street Journal opinion writer notes, that doesn't mean it's a whole lot of fun. We've got links to those stories on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.